Right about now.
We ain't fucking around.
Three shows in one night, motherfuckers.
That's what we do. That's how we does it.
That's if we post this one tonight. We'll see if I do still it. Feel like that. We'll see. I mean, it's not just uploading the thing.
What else is there?
Gotta tag it.
Tag it. Start tagging now. I'll talk. You start tagging.
Okay, talk, bitch.
Okay. So,
magnets, bitch.
Yeah, bitch. Magnets. Oh, so, okay. We have just passed the third episode of Breaking Bad, where Mike is now kind of in deep, and Walter is...
I love how Mike got in deep. I just love the writing there, because... Spoiler alert, turn off if you haven't listened to... Watch the second and third episodes of Breaking Bad. Hank got his shit together, right? They found the Cayman's accounts, and they found the $2 million... that Gus had given to Mike in his daughter's name. And that's
granddaughter, I believe, yeah.
What's that?
Granddaughter.
Granddaughter's name, yeah. And that is what got Mike into Walt's new enterprise. Yeah.
He knows he doesn't want to work with Walt. He knows Walt is a huge question mark and one gigantic fuck-up of a person. And yet, he has no choice. Because otherwise, then his past 10-plus years or whatever has gone down the drain.
Mm-hmm. So, in episode 3, I love how they're cooking. I just disagree with some of the... There's some technical problems. Just like the magnet thing. They're setting up in the dining room, right? And they don't... You can't just run all that shit off a 110-volt, 15-amp power outlet. You know, you need to run it... You need to, like, run it off the oven circuit. You know,
well, I mean, I guess you could rationalize by saying maybe they had generators outside, maybe some diesel generators outside.
Okay. Why not set up in the garage? I mean, it makes a better show to set up in the dining room or kitchen or wherever that was. Mm-hmm. But realistically, set up in the garage. Do the tent, do everything they did, but set up in the garage.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, it makes so much more sense.
And I think if you were... first of all, meth isn't blue, so let's get that out of the way.
But their meth is blue. That's the thing, because they use the methylamine or whatever.
No, even if you use methylamine, it would not be blue.
But Walter's recipe is blue. It's always been blue since the first time they
used it. The only reason they made it blue was to make it something that they could just start working, work. The only reason they made it blue was so that they could, and they've talked about this on like podcasts and articles. The reason why they made it blue was so they can make it something distinctive. But no, meth is not blue, and you can add food coloring to it to make it blue. And I've seen some stuff where there's actually some street meth they make blue because Breaking Bad's popular. But doing a phenylalanine blue phenylalanine builder, however they do it differently, where they use methylamine instead of pseudo, it would not make it. It would not change the color.
I understand that. You gotta let some of the science go. But
exactly the point.
Yeah. I'm watching that scene. I'm like, but you know, I've just done a bunch of electrical stuff, with my electric brewing and whatnot. I'm like, there's no way they're running all that shit off the outlets that are in the dining room. There's no
way. You say that, but then, I think about how right next to my my parents' kitchen, there's doors, and the doors open to the washer and dryer, and that's 220 volts.
Sure. Yeah, 30 amp, 220 volts for the dryer. The oven circuit is 50 amps.
Yeah.
So that the oven is actually the best place they could get the current from. Dryer would be the next place. It's possible, but I love the cover. I love what they're doing.
Yes.
The only thing that bugged me about the episode, it was a fun nitpick about the power, but the thing that bugged me about the episode is Walt did his first cook, and he's already trying to corner out Mike and all the legacy costs.
Well, that's because he is... He's overwhelmed with himself.
Yeah, but even if he is big on himself, it's not the first cook, It's a month in. It's 2 months in, But I'm worried that they're rushing the season.
Yeah, it's a dramatic thing. Yeah, would it... Would it take that long for a real person to get that frustrated? No, probably not. But they have to do it for dramatic purposes, and they have to make a dramatic arc for these eight eps. And, you know, it's really more of an overall dramatic arc for 16 eps that they have. But they do have to make some sort of arc for these eight eps. And so they have to kind of, they have to either play with time more, and they're not playing with time much, or, you know,
or tweak the motivations a little bit. Accelerate the frustrations and whatnot.
Right.
And I get that. I was just worried when I saw that. I'm like, that just seemed like, oh, they're going to rush something, because any semi-rational person like Walter should be, I know he's a train wreck of a person.
Yeah.
But he still made $100,000 for doing one cook, you know? And he's already pissed off that he gave too much of his share away.
You can rationalize that by he's not just pissed off at the money but he's pissed off that his wife gave money to Ted. He's pissed off that he had to come up with a lie for his wife's sister. What's her name? Hank is the
Hank and
brother-in-law, but what's the sister's name? Marcy or no?
I can't think of it right now. It's not Charlene, is it?
No. Anyway, so he's pissed off at a lot of things. He's pissed off that he feels like he doesn't have full control over the operation.
I get that, but he's running a meth ring, you know, it costs a lot of money to do something that illegal, you know? So I'm just surprised the character doesn't get that a little bit. And that's why it seems like they're just rushing that plot point to really get to some climax, some point sometime soon. And maybe they have to, but
I mean, well, they did like last episode where, Saul is trying to tell him, you know, is trying to talk sense to him, and he's just sitting there not buying any of it. Mm-hmm. So,
well, that was about choosing a location. Is that what you're talking about? Or?
No. When Saul is talking to him in the second episode, the end of the second episode, and then Saul tries to get out, and he tells Saul, that was the first episode where he says, "You're done when I say you're done." Here's the question for you, mm-hmm. relating to Breaking Bad. At what point does Walter White, because Walter White is absolutely an anti-hero now. He is not the hero. He is not a guy you root for. And if anything, you're rooting for him to get his comeuppance. So at what point did he make what wrestling people would call the heel turn? Or at what point did he change from the person you root for to the person that you love?
I think that's, to me, that seems like that's a, and I don't, so there's two answers. It's when the writers wanted you to realize that, and then when maybe I actually realized it. And right. In this case, I think it's probably the same time. And I think it's the realization that he poisoned Brock.
Okay. That's later than me.
Okay.
I think it was when he let Jesse's girlfriend die.
Oh.
And he just let that happen in front of him. I mean, you could forgive him, you know, having to kill other people and stuff up to that point.
That might have a bit to do with, you watched it in a marathon, catching up.
Yeah.
I watched it as it aired, so that was a long time ago for me. You know, so maybe that's why it didn't seem so vivid. The whole Brock poisoning thing, there's a friend at work, Whitney, she, you know, she's been in the Breaking Bad too. She called it before I saw it, the whole, you know, it wasn't that it was actually Walter that did put Brock in the hospital and not, you know, some other means, not Gus, not someone mm-hmm. else. I missed it at the front when that first came down. She caught it.
So you didn't fully convert on the Walter's evil until the end of last season, where I was kind of on that train from the second to the end of the second season on.
Yeah, I don't think I'm still rooting for Walt rooting for him to So there was a
period, you're so rude for evil people.
There was a period where I was, I'm trying to analyze what I was thinking, right? And there was a period of time where I was just like rooting for him to get out of the situation, not really rooting for him to succeed. I think there's a little bit of difference there. I'm not sure. I don't have a great answer on that. A similar, you know, character change thing is Jesse, right? Jesse's his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. For some reason, I thought I called him wrong.
Just like my nephew.
Where, you know, he was a fuck
Jesse
up.
Jesse Pinkman.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he's a fuck up for so long, right? And I was actually a latecomer to seeing that he had come around. Episode 3, the last episode, is where I finally saw, you know, he's still cooking meth, but the dude's got his shit together. You know, where, you know, most of the season he's probably had his shit together, but I didn't want to admit it. I didn't, because he's always been like the fuck up, and like, you're just making things harder for everyone, you know? And you know, they've changed him.
Yeah, Mr. White. Yes, science.
So the next time you want to play something from a sound bed, let me know and you can plug in this jack. Because now we got the jack in thing here.
It was more of a... So that makes sounds when you pull it out. It makes a...
Well, what we could do is we'll put a little splitter on so we're both jacked in. So we can both play, you know, whatever the fuck we want to play. We can play some more John Williams. Or we could, you know... We could really get gimmicky on this shit.
Okay. You want to get gimmicky?
I'm going to get gimmicky here, but this site's slow, so I'm not sure how long it's going to take to load this audio clip.
Gimme. Too late on your part. Sorry for all the weird noises, everybody.
Static of the plug and unplug.
Ooh. That didn't sound right.
Don't go to soundboard.com. I'm sorry, go do that again.
Hi. I'm John Kimble.
I'm Detective John Kimble.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
I call this the danger zone. It's trouble time. Come on, don't bullshit me.
Where's the one about him, you know, when you know you got to get the fucking, and when you're fucking it feels so good, when you're coming it feels so good.
I don't know,
good.
By doing this one.
Fuck you, asshole. Fuck you, asshole.
When you're coming it feels so good.
First, I would like to just get to know you.
Get your mother, please.
Well, you must be very proud of yourself.
You lack discipline.
Gimme. We're going to descend a little bit more before we pull out of this nosedive. A little more nosedive.
No! Yes.
No!
Yes.
I am the father.
Chewie!
The name's Ahsoka Tano.
What the fuck's that? Where's that from?
Oh, that is not good.
It's that TIE fighter exploding, apparently.
It's a trap!
Ooh, it's Admiral Akbar.
It's a trap!
Yeah, I get it.
Yoda. You seek Yoda.
Alright. That's fun. Yeah, now that we have the gimmick of soundboards, oh boy, Crafty Radio is going to be so fantastic.
Bet you guys can't wait to see what we come up with next.
It's going to be so funny. Original. All
right. Well, Yeah. That's it.
Really? 14 minutes? Okay.
That's all I got.
All right. Let's, one more. Come on. Give me some.
Unless you want me to talk about... You know, I don't want to talk about that yet. I don't want to... Talk about that.
I'm Barack Obama.
Okay, Mr. Obama. So,
can you define more sharply what you think would be a legitimate or fair
set of circumstances in the relationship between Iran and Iraq?
Yes, I can.
That would make us feel comfortable drawing down our troops?
Yes. What I would say is that if Iran and Iraq were to, you know, have a sleepover and, you know, have their kids over and just kind of talk, you know,
indeed.
Just kind of talk it out and, you know, have a few, like you did with that beer summit with those dudes.
True.
And just, you know, kind of, and then hug it out, bitch, like an entourage.
Damn.
Yeah. Damn. Any other questions?
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled.
Spit it out.
Frequently.
What did you inhale?
Such a pleasant surprise to find a well-mannered young black man.
So racist, don't you think?
Mr. Sister Obama? Regina. Sister Regina.
Whoa.
Sister Regina. Sister Regina.
I'm surprised by your overt racism, Mr. Obama.
Christopher Columbus Clark.
Okay.
We're turning into an improv show really quickly here, aren't we?
Whenever I try to talk to you about it, you act like I'm just this great big bother.
Well, you kind of are being a bother. You're not making much sense. You're being a little racist.
We were in goddamn Hawaii.
No, we're in Pittsburgh. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's why you're becoming a bother to me.
Man, I'm not going to any more of these bullshit Puno parties.
You have a point. But and this is kind of a bullshit party. I will agree. You know, it's just three guys down here. One of them happens to be the President of the United States, and we're drinking some beers. But, you know, I think it's a good time. I think we had a good time.
Well, fucking Eskimo.
That's one way to look at it.
Bye.
Bye.
Later. Damn, I'm late for class.
Okay. What class?
Let's see.
Maybe they're looking at that big butt of yours.
You got me.
It's not so hot anyway.
You got me.
Ignorant motherfucker.
You got me.
Ignorant motherfucker. What am I, bitch nigga?
I'm bookmarked the soundboard.
So, I hope you will listen to our new shows with our new permanent guest, President Barack Obama. Mr. Obama, or President Obama, thank you for coming.
I'm sorry, who'd you say you were?
And with that, I think we'll wrap it up.
Oh, I hope the people listening enjoyed that, because that's fun.